Hey geeks, welcome to episode 73 of It's All Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, Kate. This is a very special episode. We talk nothing but Agent Carter all podcast long. Very special guest on the podcast with us today, Johnny Destructo from Pop-Tards Go. Fantastic podcast. They do podcasts about comics, and they do one of my favorites that they do is a horror cast. They'll watch a horror movie and then do a podcast about it. It's fantastic. We'll give you the link to that. I also want to give a shout out to Edit Erase. They did our fantastic new theme song that you're going to hear in just a second. You can find them on soundcloud.com, Edit Erase Band, or on facebook.com, Edit Erase. Fantastic, fantastic. So big shout out to JD and a big shout out to Edit Erase. And without further ado, here is the All Agent Carter, all podcast long, hashtag Renew Agent Carter. Episode that Em and I watched. Actually, technically, episode 6 is the last episode I watched, rewatched.
I shake my head at you.
What? I can't help it.
For once, I'm more prepped than you are.
No. I mean, I've rewatched the entirety of it, but I was rewatching it again, and I watched it, episode 6.
I was wondering. I was like, wait a minute, you only watched 6 episodes?
Oh, no.
She's talking about a rewatch, but I thought she made it all through. You were so close, my dear.
No. I have watched all of it. Of course I've watched all of it. But the finale broke my heart about 3 times.
Oh, over and over.
Over and over and over again. In beautiful fashion and in wonderful angsty fashion, the way Marvel loves to do it, but completely broke my heart.
I just, first of all, fair warning to anyone listening, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
Always spoilers.
I just can't believe they ended it how they ended it.
I know. That tag was pretty awesome.
What was the problem?
They ended it that way without guaranteeing us another season. That's just mean.
Well, but they wrapped it up enough that if it is the only 8 episodes that we get, they were good, and there was enough of a story arc and enough that happened that I feel like they could leave it there. I don't think they're going to. I mean, the Marvel fans made a big enough stink that we brought Agent Coulson back from the dead. You make a big enough stink, they'll give it to you.
Well,
so,
yes, true. But I'm just saying, that tag hurt, man.
Tag hurt? Her dumping his blood in the river hurt.
No, I mean, that hurt too in a different way. And by the way, does that mean we have, like, super fish in Brooklyn now? Because that was my one thought. As soon as she started pouring, I was like, oh, there's going to be some, like, cool mutant fish in there.
Yeah, we'll have to check next time we're crossing the Brooklyn Bridge.
All right, I'm on it.
The first point where I was watching it in the finale in real time, I was running a show at the same point.
Of course.
So the show started at 8 o'clock, and my show started at 8 o'clock, and Agent Carter started at 9. So I had the live feed on the ABC.com up on my laptop in the scene doc, and I hid in there between changes to watch it. And I missed about 10 minutes, and the 10 minutes that I missed was her talking Howard down out of the sky.
Those are very important.
I know, but I came back just in time for the end. And I'm sitting in the scene doc with 2 burly men. And I literally had an involuntary reaction that was like, no. And they both looked at me like, what's wrong with you? What are you doing?
So many things.
So many.
And then they asked you to get their coffee.
No, they make me coffee.
Oh, nice.
See how times have changed, folks.
My, how times have changed. I know.
But did they ask you to file? That is the most important question.
Yeah, we'll start with the letters, you know, beginning with A. Words beginning with A. But overall, I really liked the series. We've talked about it for, you know, 9 weeks now, how much we really, really love the series and how important we really think it is, which is why we're so happy that you're here with us, JD, because I would like to know an outsider's opinion. We have done nothing but gush about this show for 8 episodes.
Well, there's a lot to gush about. I think that this is a really strong start to a show. I'm excited about where it may be heading. And I was thinking about what you were talking about earlier. I came to the same conclusion that even if this is all we get of Agent Carter, it's enough. I feel like they did a good enough job with this series that after Captain America, I was curious about what happened to Peggy and sort of where she went from there. And this helped wrap that up a little bit for me and give me a little bit of closure, as it did for her, obviously. I like the very, very end where they bring back Arnim Zola. And that even helps tie in a little bit of Captain America 2 and the brainwashing, like where they got the brainwashing techniques for the Winter Soldier program and Bucky and all that sort of stuff. So I thought that was a nice little tidbit.
Yeah, I agree. And I like how they included the Black Widow program in the show.
I know.
Which was pretty awesome. Bridget Regan has talked about extensively that she got completely obsessed with Black Widow and like Natasha Romanoff and just Scarlett Johansson and all that stuff going into this character. And rightly so. And yeah. I just read something today which was really, really cool. When you look back at that episode, the girls are all brainwashed using like Snow White and Disney fairy tales.
Because mm-hmm. they're now part of the House of Mouse. So they can do that without being charged an arm and a leg.
Yeah. So she took it a step further and decided that the character, like her fake persona, would have been something she would have seen in one of these movies. And she decided to play her like Judy Garland, like from Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. Very sweet and like country girl, didn't know much, very naive. And I was like, that is brilliant and awesome. I think
that is kind of,
and that's exactly how it read too. I was blown away when I read that. I read that, I think, earlier today or yesterday somewhere on the interweb. I think I really love all the characters in the show too. Not but other than, you know, like Peggy and Jarvis were really well fleshed out from the start, but I feel like the rest of the characters moved in another direction and grew as characters throughout the course of the series as well, aside from just Dottie, but Angie and Sousa and, you know, Chief Dooley jumping out the window. And his final words are like showing his respect to Peggy and what she can do when he's like, you know, you're going to get him, right? And she says yes. And he's like, that a girl. And he jumps out the window, which I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, that was pretty rad. I love that scene. That was a great scene. Mm-hmm. And as an actor, I bet that's a great death for your character.
I know, right?
Yeah. And I was really impressed that they got him in the first episode. Chief Dooley.
Chief Dooley,
yes.
The actor from Boardwalk Empire. I was really happy to see him. And he can't seem to get away from playing certain types of characters in period dramas.
I thought the minute that he showed up, I was like, he's like a mobster.
Yep.
Yeah.
At first, I really felt
some
like...
people just have that face.
Yeah.
That's true. Or that's like that way about them. But when he first showed up in the first episode, or even all the male characters in the first episode, to me, they've almost felt like caricatures.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think by the time we hit about episode 4, the episode where like they go to Russia and meet up with the Howling Commandos, I feel like we finally got to see the other side of them. Like we got to see another side of Thompson, and then Sousa was trying to figure out, like he basically had figured out that Peggy was doing something that they thought she shouldn't be in that episode. So I feel like they started to change them. It broke my heart, too. I really like Daniel.
His whole character just broke my heart every time.
As soon as he figured out the scar thing, I was like, no, we liked you. Don't go there. But it was such a good way for his character to go. Like he got to be one of the first people to sit down in the interrogation room across the table from her and be like, so this is what's going on. And you're going to tell me everything.
Well, it was nice. It was nice for his development as well, because he's come back from the war and he's got the bum knee. He's got a hitch in his giddy up, you know. And so being able to use his mind where he's not able to do the physicality that's, you know, probably necessary in his line of work.
Yeah.
It was nice that they gave that little bit of drama to that character. I thought that worked really well.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I mean, I liked him. The minute that I remember really realizing how much I liked his character was, I think it's in episode 2 where he and Peggy kind of have a cute conversation. And then it's Krasinski who's sitting with him at his desk when they're like on the night shift. And he says, listen, no girl's going to trade in a red, white, and blue shield for an aluminum crutch. And I was like, punch him.
Oh, God.
Punch him right now.
I do want to point out, though, that the picture she had was of Skinny Steve. So really, she wouldn't be trading a shield for a crutch. She'd be trading really skinny weak asthmatic for a crutch. So, you know, that actually could work.
I saw a meme on Tumblr that I really loved. Someone gift that scene, and one person wrote, and at this point, Steve would have punched him in the face, and then someone else reblogged it and was like, nope, Steve would have handed him the shield and said, aim for the head, it hurts more. Hmm. I was like, I would like to think so, yes. But I really liked his character in the end, and I actually didn't realize in the finale, that moment where he asks her if she wants to go for a drink after work, kind of mirrors episode 4, where they're all going out for a drink and he doesn't want to go. And she turns to him and she's like, you're sure you don't want to go for a drink? And he's like, no, maybe another time. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, I didn't think about that until I did a rewatch. I was like, oh, hey, these two scenes kind of mirror each other. And I kind of like the way she kind of smiles about it in the finale. Like, she's finally starting to realize maybe she can have that bit of her life. She doesn't have to be so closed off from everybody.
Yeah.
So I really like how they went into that. And I think if they get a season 2, they have a lot that they could do. Then I read something yesterday that the producers or the two showrunners were doing an interview on Marvel.com, and they talked about how they can time jump if they want. Like, they could jump ahead in time and it could be Howard and Peggy founding S.H.I.E.L.D.
I would actually be very interested in that.
So would I. And if you think about it, if they put it as this was the insert for while S.H.I.E.L.D. is off. If they give it to us again that way next year, perhaps, I think it might be cool if they did that. They went in forward in time and showed us them founding S.H.I.E.L.D. and giving us that bit of origin story as well. It would be really fun. It'd be something.
Well, when this was heading down the pike, when I heard that it was coming, that's kind of what I assumed the show would be about. I thought it was going to tie into S.H.I.E.L.D. specifically, the show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And it does a little bit if you think about it, but we kind of knew what was coming because we got to see about 12
the
minutes of
scene.
Footage at New York Comic Con. So when they did,
they did the
S.H.I.E.L.D. panel with Jeff Loeb and Clark Gregg, and they were very cute about it. They had this cute little fight because Jeff Loeb was wearing a Hydra shirt. And we got to watch the whole episode for like the following week, and then Clark Gregg came out and like made a stink, and he was like, I think what would really make this up to me, Jeff, is if you showed them something from Agent Carter. And they had legit just started filming it like the Monday of that week.
The scene was filmed on Monday.
Yeah.
They showed it to
and
us
it was,
on Friday.
We got to see the scene on the dock where her and Howard are talking in the premiere, and then the fight that she has with the guy without the larynx in her kitchen.
Nice.
At New York Comic Con. So we kind of knew that it wasn't S.H.I.E.L.D. related yet. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think they could do a lot with that. They can do a lot with her still. We don't really have her that much in the comics, and she doesn't have that much of an origin story. So there's a lot of material there. Just saying.
And I do think it works best as doing it as an insert in between S.H.I.E.L.D.
I agree, because there was talk of that if they did do a season 2, they didn't know what format they would do it in, meaning whether or not they would do it as, you know, the in-between S.H.I.E.L.D. or if they would throw it on Netflix or what.
But I think it works best as just like a little mini-series because it gives you just enough.
Yeah.
Because if you keep something on for too long, the ratings always get funky and blah, blah, blah.
And that's been a constant talk throughout the course of the show is the rating.
Right, so I think they're better off.
No, yeah, I agree with you.
Series format.
And I actually have had two people in the last 2 days when I've been talking about this show be like, wait, it's over? They canceled it? I'm like, no, it was always a miniseries. And they're like, no, it can't go off the air yet. I was like, yes, it can, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back next week. Sorry,
it can
guys.
And it did.
Yeah, so a lot of people did. I think it's amazing to me that they didn't realize that it was short. So I don't know. I think I agree with you. I think it's very good filler. Not filler. I don't want to call it filler. It's a good place to put it when you go on winter hiatus for S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think S.H.I.E.L.D. could benefit from the same sort of story shortening. And keep in mind, I haven't seen S.H.I.E.L.D. season 2 yet.
Okay.
But season 1 lost me after about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, because it just got so boring and repetitive.
After
the Captain America 2 came out and they tied it in with Hydra and everything, that's when I went, oh, nice. Shorter seasons, I think, make for a nice, more crisp storytelling experience.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, we've talked about this before, that they do that with British TV
a
lot. Mm-hmm. And it makes you don't burn out your actors and your crew. It makes for kind of more intense storytelling.
There's less filler.
And there's less, You don't get those filler episodes like you do with things like, you know, the 24-episode seasons of The Walking Dead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think all shows should be 13 episodes a season. Yep. 13 is a nice number. You get a few, like, breaks and stuff from, like, hardcore dramatics, but that's just enough to get in everything you need to get in and still make people interested.
I agree.
Now, one of my complaints, I agree with that, but one of my complaints, I had some notes here, and one of them was, I was a little disappointed about how quickly some of the things got resolved in this show. Mm-hmm. They figure out Peggy is not what they think she is, and they arrest her, and they make this big show of it, and she spends the entire episode not saying a thing, just not telling them the truth for whatever reason. I couldn't figure out why she was being silent. And then she gets rescued by Jarvis with a false confession, and that gets the whole gang together so that she can look and see what was his name? The psychologist? Fenhoff. Fenhoff, he's like three rooms away, signaling across the street, and she can see him and figure out what he's doing with the Morse code. And then she has a nice, calm conversation with everybody, and then they believe her. And then Howard Stark shows up, who they've been searching for the entire season. They blame all of the deaths of all the agents on Howard Stark, and we're going to get him, you know, by Job. And they hate the fella. And then he shows up, and after a calm conversation, everyone believes him.
It was a different time.
It was just too quick. And then later the same episode, I think, Dooley, you know, he's getting ready to jump out the window and trying his flying technique. And he makes Peggy promise to avenge his death. But, like, you hated her 20 minutes ago, dude. So, I mean, it just felt a little too quickly wrapped up. And maybe an extra episode would have helped.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. If they had one more episode, they probably could have drug that bit out as long as they wanted to.
Right. Mm-hmm. But see, if they had 13 episodes, everything would have fit.
Yeah.
It would have, wouldn't it?
13 is the magic number.
Yep.
It would have. The thing that I agree with you on that point. And then the other part of it that I thought was over way too quickly was her fight with Dottie.
Mm-hmm. Which, BT dubs, that woman had a massive head wound and she just got up and walked away.
She's a black widow.
Yeah, she lost like 4 pints of blood.
I know.
There was significant blood on that plane and it all came from her head.
Yes, it
she
did.
She just got up and walked away.
Well, to be fair, maybe she had ketchup in her pocket.
She had blood in her pocket?
Ketchup. And it just, when she fell, it exploded.
Sure.
And she had to get out of there.
Yeah, that was it. Ketchup. Yeah.
Of course. How could I have overlooked the pocket ketchup?
The
blood was very red.
Yes, it was. The other thing about that whole fight was, like, she beat Peggy with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
I didn't see any after effects of that, which I always try to remind myself, like, this is comic book land and they're translating it to TV, but come on, she beat her with a baseball bat.
I'm willing to give you that during the fight, there not being as many after effect to it, because adrenaline, whatever, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, she should have been at least, you know.
Limping? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going with limping.
She limped after the, when they throw that truck in the water and it explodes, the milk truck.
Yes.
She limped after that. And I was like, okay, this is appropriate because she just like threw herself off a truck and rolled on the ground for a while. Yes, you should be limping.
And she got bandaged up because of that. But then that injury never seemed to affect her again.
No. And she actually, I always talk about the clothes, what clothes tell you about a character. After that episode, if you notice, her hemline got longer in the next episode. Like the dress that she wore into the office the next time we see her, the hemline is longer to hide that cut on her thigh.
Oh, that's clever. I like that.
I was like, Gigi Melton thought this through. it's fun if you look at the... I'm going to take it there again, of course. It's fun if you look at the clothes in general. There's one that I reblogged on Tumblr earlier today. That dress that she's wearing in the episode where they go to Russia, it's a heavyweight fabric, and it looks more like a suit than a dress, really.
Yes.
And I thought that when I was watching the episode, too, but upon looking at it again, if you look at what's going on in the episode, early in the episode when she is sitting across from Dottie in the automat, and they're having that conversation about, like, if you want to get to know a city, you go to you meet its people and all that stuff. She had just been hurt by Howard and Jarvis. So if you look at it in that moment as like a bit of armor against like the world hurting her, and then when she walks into Chief Stooley's office and she's like, no, I am going to Russia, it's battle armor. Like she's dressed for success and she's going to go and do it. I just thought it was a little bit of a heavy fabric for that dress, but looking at what the character does in the episode, it made sense.
And this is the portion where Kate analyzes costuming.
Well, it is. It's interesting though, if you think about it, because like there are parts of TV shows that happen that we don't think about when we're actually watching them, like the choice in the clothing. You don't always think about like what it's telling about the character, like why did they throw Daniel Sousa in sweater vests? Because it fits the character. And he's this sweet war veteran who wouldn't necessarily wear a suit jacket all the time. So he wears a sweater vest so that he can take his jacket off and still be dressed for the period. But he's a bit softer than like Thompson standing there in his suspenders.
Nice.
So it's interesting how the clothes can tell a story as well as the dialogue and the makeup and the hair and all of it.
Oh, I love that. I never really pay much attention to the costuming at all, but that's brilliant. I love that.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And like for her anyway, like even from the pilot when she's in that blue suit, I've heard the costume designer talk about like she had to stand out in the first few minutes of that episode. And like the red, white, and blue is a tribute to Captain America, to Steve Rogers. But her walking through that sea of gray fedoras wearing a red fedora was the color story that they wanted to tell. Like she's fighting her way through this sea of men already at the very beginning. But she's standing out because she's of what she's wearing. So it's really cool if you want to start looking at clothing a little bit differently. I promise I don't overanalyze everything. It's just that I noticed that one in particular.
I love that look. It was a very distinct look, except for the fact that it was very where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
It was a little.
It was, I know. I'll give you that.
It was my first thought. I was like, oh, there she is. I've been looking for her.
I found her.
Yeah.
Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Where is Waldo? So, yes, I look forward to a season 2 on this show. I think it was a really fun ride. And I still think my favorite episode was the one where they go to Russia and she meets up with the commandos. It's just nice
great.
To see her amongst those men again.
Mm-hmm.
And to have them in the episode was fun, too, because we haven't seen them since Captain America: The First Avenger. So,
yeah, I was wondering if you were ever going to see Dum Dum Dugan again.
I love me some Dum Dum.
Oh, yeah, they were on S.H.I.E.L.D. I forgot about that. They were
like
in,
a brief
her
nano.
And the commandos were in the first episode of this season of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Oh, okay, I missed it.
They, the obelisk, that is like the big thing that happens this season, Peggy and the commandos take it from Hydra in the pilot, back in the 40s. Not the pilot, in the premiere.
Yes, from Reed Diamond.
From Reed Diamond.
Yes. Whom I love, and I was devastated by his character death only because I love the actor so much.
He plays a good Nazi.
He does play a good Nazi. Which
Who doesn't love a good Nazi? So, a couple other... Are we wrapping this up?
No, keep talking.
Oh, there's a couple other problems I have. The hypnosis. Fenhoff.
Yeah,
the hypnosis fella. That was kind of annoying. They almost gave him a superpower where he's like, "Hey, look at this ring for a second. Now you're gonna do everything I tell you."
It's also because he's German. We determined the voice factor.
It's the voice pattern.
Oh, I see.
That's where we've gone with it. That he's got the German accent and that voice timbre to his voice. We're like, yeah, that must be it.
From my understanding, people under hypnosis don't really do things they wouldn't normally do. Things that are against their moral code and stuff. But, I mean, I've only gleaned that from other pieces of pop culture. So I don't know which fictional hypnosis version is correct. But it just seemed a little too quick. Yeah. Like, just saying focus doesn't make someone do what you want them to do, you know?
No, but I also, I agree with you. But I was looking at that a little further, too. And if you look at the people that his subjects that he did hypnotized, I'm not going to call them weak-minded, but maybe in general they're more open to suggestion than certain people. Like not that he was in a room with Peggy long enough, but he didn't try to hypnotize Peggy. He didn't try to hypnotize any of the commandos. He waited until he was, you know, back in New York, and then he took advantage of Chief Dooley, who's having all these personal problems, so he's already got, like, a chink in his armor.
Right.
So maybe all it just had something to do with these people who were more susceptible to coercion than others.
I'll buy it. I love it. Thank you.
I mean, it's just that's just my theory, because honestly, no. I agree with you. It was a little too easy for him to be like, let me twist this wedding ring and tell you to focus.
Telling you, it's the timbre of the voice, people.
It's the timbre of his voice. However, I will never sit next to someone who is sitting there twirling their wedding ring. Because, nope. You know, he might tell me to go and savor a bourbon and then walk into traffic.
But let's be honest, at least he was nice about it. Before he killed people, he made them have happy thoughts.
That's true.
Go drink your bourbon, savor it, then walk in front of a bus. Go home to your family, have them accept you, then blow up.
Yeah. Then blow up. And blow up the SSR.
It's true. He's adorable. He's a real sweet guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would share a cell with him. Mm-hmm.
Another problem I had with the show, you know, it strives to have a discussion about human equality when it comes to the sexes and everything, and I think that's really admirable. But for a show that's doing that, it really shouldn't be that shocking when a black guy comes on screen. There's a scene where a black cop pulls the villains over.
Yeah.
And both me and my fiance were like, oh, there's one. Found it. Like, it's just, there's not enough diversity in the show that I would, that I could, you know, yeah. notice. Like, even in the backgrounds. Like, you're in New York City, you're gonna get some other people besides white folk. So that was a little strange to me.
I agree with you on that one. And yeah. You're not the first person to bring that up. That's actually rampant on Tumblr right now about that whole, that thing. And then there was another, like, there were people who were discussing the sexism in the show. And a lot of women sat back and went, exactly. But someone's point they were trying to make was that, you know, oh, well, this was the 1940s and there wouldn't have been that. No, I don't buy that at all. I agree with you that at least in the background, there should have been more diversity in terms of that, especially since you're in New York City, which is kind of like a melting pot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And then like, yeah, it was randomly this African-American cop shows up to arrest the bad guys, and then he becomes susceptible to hypnosis as well.
Yep.
Okay, sure. But yeah, I agree with you on that fact too. Anything else?
Yes.
Yes, actually. Go on.
There is.
Yeah. Now that you've asked, you know, when she comes at the end of the episode, the end of the season, she walks off the elevator and everyone starts clapping. It was, I don't know, you talked about a callback earlier that I hadn't really noticed. This is one I did notice that, you know, Agent Sousa tells a story in the middle of the season. He's about walking into a restaurant. He's trying to appeal to the, he's interrogating a hobo.
Man.
Yeah, a homeless man. Mm. And about how he walked into a diner and he got applause. And then he realized he was only getting applause because the diners felt guilty for his injury. And then in the last episode, all the SSR agents applaud for Peggy when she walks off the elevator. So it was a little soiled where I was like, oh, that just, and I mean, it makes sense that they all do feel guilty that sort of they put her where they put her, and then, you know, how she worked her way out of it. But I thought that was interesting, an interesting callback.
I didn't take it
with
that
you
way.
On that one. I noticed that.
I'm so say it again.
I said I agree with you. I had noticed that as well.
Oh, see, I didn't take it that way. I took it like when Thompson has his realization about her, and he starts to think about her differently. I feel like my interpretation of it was that they all suddenly were like, oh, okay. She's not just a woman anymore, but I see now that you guys mentioned that I see it as well. Like now that you mentioned that, I can take the callback as well, but I didn't see that initially.
Well, again,
I don't know if it was intentional.
Partially they quote unquote respect her now or whatever because of what she did. But also, yeah, I think it had a little bit to do with guilt over the fact that they have overlooked her for so long and she's the one who figured this out. And
Yeah, no. And it makes sense. I didn't think of it that way at first, though. And now that you both have said that, that opened my eyes.
But, I mean, I also like the reality of when, they come in to, you know, commend everybody and the guy who's been running the SSR for the past
Thompson.
Episode or so. Thompson, thank you. He looks at her and you think he's going to be like, well, sir, actually, the kudos go to this young lady with the gams over here. And he totally doesn't do that at all. And he just was like, yeah, I'm a dick. I'll take this. Because,
well,
you know, you got that originally from him when he's admitting on the plane about the white flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know that he doesn't, you know, it guilts him a little bit. He feels guilty, but he still goes through with the, you know, the douchosity.
Yeah. And
that's a douche, always a douche.
Yep.
I read a interview with Tara Butters and his name is escaping me, the two showrunners. And they were asked the question about that specific scene. Like, why did he make the choice that he made right there? And Tara basically said that he had that choice to make. And you have to remember that he is trying to recover his own guilt over what he did in the war. And to be commended for this, he's going to take the chance, whether he respects Peggy or not. So they toyed with that choice too. Like, why did he make that choice? And I agree with you. I think it's typical though. But then she gets that great line about like, I know my worth and it doesn't matter what men think, basically.
Yep. But yeah, she comes to her own realization. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I kind of liked that they did it that way because it's like, not everyone is going to be changed and like everything's going to be happy and perfect. Like are people who are still like, no matter what, like even though he respects, quote unquote, respects her, because to some degree he can't for having done that. But no matter how much he respects her now, as opposed to how he used to, it's still like, this is a great opportunity for him, so he's going to take it. And mm-hmm. some people are just like that. Not everyone sees the light and changes themselves. Sometimes they see, you know, a flashlight and continue mm-hmm. on in the dark.
No, yeah. I love it. I love that it wrapped up that way, because not everything is tied up in a bow at the end of episodes, and that kind of annoys me with television, that everything just gets settled so quickly at the end of the half hour, you know, filmed in front of a live studio audience and everyone's happy again. So I like when things take a turn like that and something slightly more realistic.
Yeah, I agree. I liked how it ended, and I like I said earlier, like I liked how they ended it because it could be left here if they have to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they can leave it there, and then, you know, the fanfic writers can go and have fun.
And which we got to see Stan Lee, which was adorable.
And Stan Lee, I know, every time, and I've watched that episode at least twice, and it gets to that point where Howard and Jarvis sit down next to each other, and I'm like, no, Stan Lee, Stan Lee's right there. It's like watching the Marvel movies and being like, where's Stan Lee? I love that he's making the rounds and he's been in as many things as he can. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Like his cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy is great.
I personally think my favorite is he was doing an interview with someone about and they asked him about Wolverine Origins, the one that recently came out, the whole like Japan centric one.
And he Wolverine. Goes,
Yeah. He's like, that one's gonna make the most money, and you wanna know why? And so the interviewer is like, why? He's like, because I don't have a cameo, but people don't know that. So they're going to watch it and be like, I didn't see Stan Lee. I need to see that movie again.
He's
and
adorable.
Then they're going to go back. And
I just
like,
want him to be my grandpa.
Agreed.
Like, he's such a cute man, just listening to him talk. And I love, Chris Hardwick does one of the best Stan Lee impressions, but he's like, it's like that humble brag thing. Like, all I did was invent comic books. Like,
I'm not that big a deal.
What? Who cares? Come on now. But yeah, I love that he was able to go and film with them. There's a really cute picture of, I think it's James D'Arcy, Dominic Cooper, and Hayley Atwell with him from that day that he filmed that. So it's cute. They had a fun time with him, I'm sure. I think this series was important for a lot of reasons. I think it's cool that they did, for them to have the opportunity to make it might have been Jeff Loeb, was talking about how they were given the opportunity to do 30 hours of TV. They could do 30 hours of Marvel TV. And for them to choose Peggy to take this was an important step, I think, to give it like, give it to a girl was awesome.
Right.
Especially since like we're not getting another, I'm going to say like female-led one until we get Captain Marvel in 2016, 2018.
They pushed it back for the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, they pushed it back. So Captain Marvel will be the first lady-led
film.
Right.
That we're getting.
For Peggy to get the opportunity, for it to be her, it's kind of poetic. Like, she's one of the founding members of S.H.I.E.L.D. For her to get the opportunity to be like, I'm the first female-led series, that's awesome.
Well, also, it's kind of amazing, too, because when you think about it, over the course of the film universe, she really hasn't had that much. Like, yes, she's a main part in Captain America, but not compared to some other female characters who have popped up in the verse,
like
you know,
Black
Pepper
Widow.
Or Black Widow.
Yeah, Yeah, and it was nice for them to be able to have that. And I know that the showrunners mapped out their own origin story for her on the chance that they get to tell it.
So please and thank you.
I would love for them to get the chance to tell it. I really, really would. I think it was an important show for women and for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, just because they didn't go into this trying to make a show about feminism, but you can't.
It's just difficult not to.
Yeah, and it is difficult not to when you look at the time period that they're putting it in and the fact that she is an independent woman who can take care of herself in all situations. It's hard not to for it not to lead that way. But I think they did it in a good way. They didn't take it to the bad feminism place where it can be like man bashing.
But it was a nice rebuttal to Mad Men, which I don't think hits these notes as well as it could or should have.
It really could have. You're right. It could have been so much better.
I can't watch Mad Men. It makes me angry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's a good show and I know people love it and I can understand that. But just even from just watching the pilot, it just angered me, and I don't find entertainment in seeing the constant beratement of women. No. Even though, you know, I know it was a thing, but
yeah, and it was. But I quit watching that show very early on when I don't even remember characters' names. The one character went to the lady doctor, and they were giving her a lecture on using birth control. I was like, I'm out.
That was the first episode, I believe.
Okay, so I didn't get past that. I didn't get
that. You didn't
get that
far at all, dear, because I watched that and that was the scene that made me go, okay.
Yeah, no,
we're done here.
It angered me enough that I was like, I understand that this happened, but I don't need to watch it.
But that's the thing. Like, I understand it happened, but I don't want to watch it for entertainment.
No, and like the thing that I liked about Agent Carter is she used the sexism to her advantage.
Always.
Mm-hmm. In every situation. Even when she's trying to get her room at the Griffith. And Miss Fry is like, so how long do you plan to work at the telephone company? And she's like, until I'm married. Like, that's the right answer, but that's not the real answer.
Until I find the right man.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, and she always used it against them, and she didn't take it personally. Like, even in I think episode 2, maybe, it might have been even earlier than that, when I think Daniel's the one who says something to her about it, and she's like, because he sticks up for her in the board meeting.
That's the first episode.
It's the first episode. And she's like, I can take anything that these adolescents throw at me, so you don't have to defend my honor, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So,
but
yeah.
But it's cute that he tried.
It was kind of cute that he tried. Except,
I'm sorry, I really don't want to ship it, but I totally ship it.
I don't want to ship it either, but I do.
Ship it?
Oh. So, you know what a ship is, JD?
The things on the water?
No. Okay. So in terms of like TV and film, so like we ship Peggy and Steve Rogers, even though it's
relationship?
Didn't happen. Right.
Yes, there you go.
Put it, yep.
Thank you.
So
OMG, LOL.
Like for another example, we ship Fitzsimmons from S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't want to ship that, but I do.
I don't want to either, but I do. So now we got to the end of Peggy Carter, and we all sat back at the end of the finale and went, crap, I don't want to ship it, but I do. Because, you know, she doesn't, we know in the long run from Winter Soldier that she does get married.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to happen. Peggy doesn't need a man, but if she had a good one, it wouldn't be a bad thing, and he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
So it's cute enough.
And he was the only one smart enough to put in earplugs, by the way.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, that whole really scene was that. Really good. And I had to leave. That's when I had to leave. I had to get up at that moment before he takes the earplugs out. He's still aiming his gun at Thompson, and I had to get up and go do a change. I was like, no, and I had to watch it again, obviously, so I could watch the whole thing, but
clearly,
yeah.
But yeah, that was brilliant, because it just shows that, you know, even though he's not as physically capable as some other agents in the field, Thompson, he can totally hold his own, and he's the one who ended up fixing the situation.
And I liked that about his character. I liked that they included a character like him who has this disability that he got from the war. And yeah, I think they rounded out his character really well by the end of it. So
yeah, most of them had a nice little character arc to follow.
Yeah.
Not everyone learned a lesson, but everyone went somewhere.
Right, and they rounded out the characters enough that we care about them all enough to want them back. All of them. You know, like, we want to know what happens with Peggy and Angie as roommates, and do they ever have to call on Jarvis again?
Like, well, actually, he's the only one I think that stayed the same the entire time.
Jarvis.
Yeah, he didn't really have
an arc.
No, he didn't
really change. You're right. He didn't.
But that's okay, because he was practically perfect in every way.
Oh, he was adorable.
He was pretty darn cute.
Yeah.
And the two of them, the actors together, are stinking adorable. If you look at them in any of the interviews, they're like pretty good friends. So they're really cute together. There's a video that a friend of mine sent me of Hayley Atwell hiding in James D'Arcy's trailer and scaring the hell out of him.
Oh,
it's I laughed for like 5 minutes afterwards. So you know that they had a good time filming this show, which is even better. Like, if you know that they're having fun making stuff that we have fun watching and that they really love their characters, that's great. I love that.
Oh, you know what? Another thing that struck me, Hayley Atwell's physicality.
Mm-hmm.
I love the shape of that woman. the fact that she doesn't look like, I don't know, I guess my first thought would be Alias, some other female-led television show where she's always wearing some sort of skimpy outfit. She looks like she doesn't have any organs inside of her because she's so skinny, you know?
Mm.
And so I sort of like that Hayley Atwell seems to have an uncommon for mainstream television physique.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Well said.
I was trying to find a way to say it that wasn't offensive.
No, you said it. You said it just right, because I think we all had that thought as well. The minute that I saw her in Captain America, even, I was like, she's got the right body shape for the time period, A, and
right.
B, the fact that she's like, I like me and I like cake.
Yeah. I do
like.
That's
a woman I can get behind.
Yes, exactly. She's pretty awesome, and I'm looking forward to seeing her in. She's in Cinderella.
Oh, is she? Good.
Yeah, she plays Cinderella's mother at the beginning of the movie.
So she's in it for 2.2 seconds.
For 2.2, right. But she's still in it. She's also supposed to have a. Peggy is supposed to have a cameo, which obviously it'll be Hayley, in Ant-Man and in Age of Ultron.
Woohoo!
I'm curious how they're going to do it. So, like, I picked up the Ant-Man prelude at the comic book store this week. In it, they have both Peggy and Howard as founding members of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they're like, at the S.H.I.E.L.D. facility, and they're older.
As they should.
Like, Howard's graying, and they're older. But both of them are in it. And I was like, is this Shades of Things to Come? Like, is it just going to be a little flashback in Ant-Man? Is it going to start here? Like, what? I have no idea, obviously. And then I've heard rumors that Age of Ultron, there might be some sort of time travel thing going on.
Yes.
So maybe we'll be going back in time. I don't know. So
I'm
excited really
for some time travel.
I'm just happy that she's going to be in two more movies. Rock on. Bring on the Peggy.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad she's getting the work that she deserves, because I loved her in Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had heard, it was shortly after that film that I heard that they might be talking about a TV show for her. And I was like, oh, that would be amazing. And then it sort of fell by the wayside and I was disappointed. I was like, whatever happened to that Peggy Carter show that they were going to do? And so I'm really glad that it actually wound up happening. I was very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great show.
It was really nice. It was a nice thing to fill our time while we waited for S.H.I.E.L.D. to come back. Although it's a double-edged sword for me, because I could watch Peggy Carter until the summer break.
I was going to say, I feel like I would be watching S.H.I.E.L.D. waiting for Peggy Carter to come back.
That's kind of what I think is going to happen for the next, 9 months before we figure out if we're getting more. Well, we won't. I don't know if they're going to make us wait until May to find out whether or not we get more. Because I think they would announce it at Upfront in New York City, whether or not they're going to do it again.
So, they might. They might not, though.
No, they might not announce it.
If they're doing it as a like filler type thing again, they might not announce it then.
Yeah, because I know they started filming the 8 episodes that we had back in October, which was not that long ago. So they could theoretically make the decision and be like, you know what, we're gonna do that again in like August.
Right.
So who knows? I know that the writers and the actors are all on board.
Rotating the shows. That would be great. Get on that, ABC. Just rotate them. When I don't have S.H.I.E.L.D., give me Carter. When I don't have Carter, give me S.H.I.E.L.D. That'd be great.
That's perfect.
That's stellar. That's a perfect rotation right there.
Dear ABC, do that.
Let's see how hard they can hear us. Anyway, I feel like maybe that was a good talk, you guys. I feel like we kind of talked it out. It was an awesome 9 weeks. We had 1 week where we're off from Peggy, so it was an awesome 9 weeks, awesome 8 episodes.
Well, I feel like we only had the 1 week off because they decided to make the first episode 2 episodes.
Yeah. And if you watched it the night that it aired, which I think I did, the way that they put them together, it was like one ended and then you got credits for the next one and it started. So you're like, oh, you guys didn't plan this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I liked the idea of the 2-hour season premiere. ABC doesn't do a lot of that.
You know what? I didn't overly care for the 2-hour season premiere. I will say this, because I don't get home in time to watch 8 o'clock TV. So then I had to wait to watch the episode because I wasn't aware at the time that they were 2 separate episodes. So it took me longer to watch it because I had to wait.
See, I don't have television, so I just watch things on Netflix and Hulu Plus. So I have to wait till the next day anyway for Hulu Plus to pick it up. So yeah.
That's kind of how my life goes with everything, because I work in theater. So I'm at the theater until 11 and I don't get home until about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I watch everything
then though.
What?
I said you still watch TV then.
Yes. One time in particular, I was not missing the finale. That's the only time that I have jeopardized my job to watch
No,
TV.
And then after you get home.
Oh, well, it usually isn't up on the websites until like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. So I might watch something from a couple days ago when I get home. Like I just watched this week's Walking Dead at like 1 o'clock this morning.
That's
but
fun.
No. My Wednesday tradition was to wake up and get on the couch with the dog and my coffee and watch Peggy, and now it will be S.H.I.E.L.D.
There you go.
On Wednesday mornings. So, yeah. Well, JD, thank you so much for joining us. This was awesome.
Yeah, thanks
absolutely
for having
awesome.
Me.
Yeah, we hope you can come back sometime, and we'll talk maybe Arrow or something else.
Nice.
Yeah, I have so many Arrow feels.
See, I'm more about The Flash.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I like The Flash. I'm just so far behind on The Flash. And let's be honest, my favorite thing about The Flash is Barry and Joe. Like, them together, their scenes make me the happiest for some reason.
It's so good, though. I love it. And it's a nice, I can't think of the word. You know, Flash is so happy and go lucky, and then Arrow's all, oh, you failed the city. Bleh, got a hood. So it's a nice compliment, you know?
Yes. I was surprised they didn't share those shows on the same day.
I know.
When they announced their lineup, I was very surprised that's not how they went with it.
Especially with the amount of crossover episodes they've done.
Yeah, right. Which are my favorite episodes.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. Good. There's another one coming this season, you know.
Damn it. Awesome.
It's got to do with the Atom and the Flash, but Felicity's going to be involved.
That Atom outfit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I'll wait to see it in action, but it's a bit much.
Right. Yeah. And also his whole like first flight scene was almost shot for shot Iron Man.
Oh, see, I missed I haven't seen that episode
that
yet.
That was this week's Arrow.
This week. Oh, it was almost shot for shot.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's he's standing on the roof and like, let's try this out and see
if
it works. There
was water and it was just...
Ugh. Yeah. It was very
Plus,
violent.
I'm having anti-Ray feels this week, so...
Oh, lots of them. Lots
I won't
of them.
I won't talk about
but
it anymore
that's,
since
that's
you
a discussion for it, another just, time.
Okay.
Just I'm anti-Ray this week.
Well, all right, you guys, thank you for tuning in. You can find us over on Twitter. We are AllGeek2, the number 2, Me Radio. If you have any questions, comments, comments, suggestions, send us an email. It's allgeektomeradio@gmail.com. And find our blog where we're going to post, I don't really think we have links to post to anything we talked about this week, but we post a lot of junk over there during the week. It's allgeektomeradio.com. So until next week, I'm Kate.
I'm Em.
And thanks for showing up, JD. We'll talk to you guys
welcome.
Later.